This morning, I'd like for us to open to Matthew chapter 19 and verses 3 through 6. Matthew chapter 19 and verses 3 through 6. It's been a very good weekend for me, and I hope it's been a good weekend for you. We did get out last night and do some trunk or treating down at Trailhead Park. We had a lot of good visitors there. Several people approached and talked about different things. I had one person say to that she needed to be back here, and I agreed with her, and so I had a good conversation about that, and we'll see if she makes it or not. But anyway, we're happy to get out and meet with people and talk to people, and just had a general good time. A lot of kids out last night having a good time. Well, this morning we'd like to take a look at Jesus' teaching on marriage and divorce, and we may continue this lesson this evening because there's a lot of material here in verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 19. Let's just go ahead and begin by reading verses 3 through 6. It says, "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" The Bible comments on a lot of different topics. The Bible is given to us for life and godliness, and so everything that pertains to life and godliness, the Bible speaks concerning these things. The Bible has some things to say about marriage and good marriages and about faithfulness in marriage. It has some things to say about the role of husbands and the role of wives. The Bible also has some things to say about proper marriage, that not all marriages are right. A lot of times people in our society conclude that if the law says that it is right, then it must be right. And that has led us to a number of difficulties in our society today. But of course, the law, that is, the law of this country, or any country for that matter, is not the final arbiter of what is right and wrong. The Word of God is the standard. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "The words that I spake, the same will judge you in the last day." And so we need to be concerned about Jesus' words. And inasmuch as the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is in the Bible, and inasmuch as the preacher and the elders are exhorted by the Bible to teach the whole counsel of God, from time to time we need to look at the topic to see what the Bible has to say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Jesus taught on this issue here in Matthew 19, 1 through 12. Paul taught on the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, I believe it is. And there are various other places in the Bible that comments on this particular topic. And so this morning, as we think about marriage and divorce and remarriage, let's first of all get it within our minds that we're going to do what the Bible says is right on this issue, and that we're going to follow Jesus' teaching, and that we're going to respect what Jesus has to say about this. Because this is a controversial topic. It is something that touches the lives of many. It touches people in a very close way, a very personal way, because there are many who, in fact, have friends and relatives who either are married or perhaps divorced or even perhaps remarried. And so the question, though, is whether or not our marriages or our divorces or our remarriages are according to the will of God. Because as we mentioned earlier, the Bible comments on all kinds of topics that have to do with life and godliness. And marriage, divorce, and remarriage is one of those topics. Well, it's no surprise that in Jesus' preaching and teaching that he encountered those who opposed him. And in fact, in this context, right here, it says that Jesus had some of his detractors approaching him regarding this message. And so, in these questions that Jesus was asked, and in the answers that Jesus gave, we have Jesus' teaching preserved for us, and this is one such account. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written well after the beginning of the church. And they were intended to give instruction to the church. And so as we think about these things, we should be thinking about them from the perspective of these messages being written for the edification and exhortation of the church. Having said that, we also understand that the material in these particular chapters dates back to a time before the church, when Jesus was continuing to perform his earthly ministry. But that the instruction that he gave to the apostles during this time was for their ability to understand and to know and then to disseminate that information after his resurrection. So the material that Jesus presents here in Matthew 19 is directly relevant to our lives today. So let's think about what Jesus says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage here in Matthew 19. First of all, in this passage, we have a personal problem that is expressed by the Pharisees. It says in verse 3 that the Pharisees also came to him testing him. Some translations say tempting him. In other words, their desire for learning here was not sincere. They were trying to catch Jesus in some kind of trap of one kind or another. And so their real motivation was not really to understand God's Word. We need to study God's Word so as to understand it. Our motivations need to be pure in that regard. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "Those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And so our attitude should reflect the attitude of the noble Bereans. We're interested in searching the scriptures. We're ready to apply the scriptures to our life. And we are not going to come to the scriptures testing Jesus, as it were. So many people today simply want to do this. They want to read the Bible, yes. They find a comfort, a personal comfort perhaps in doing so. But then when they close the Bible and go to live their own lives, they end up testing Jesus like these Pharisees did. They test Jesus by not applying the scriptures to their lives. They test Jesus by daring him to forgive them when they are impenitent of the sins that they have within their life. They test Jesus by saying, "Well, I understand that's what the Bible says, but I just don't want to do it." We can test Jesus in many ways other than the way the Pharisees were doing it. We've got to have the right attitude when it comes to the Word of God. Paul praised the church at Thessalonica for having that right attitude when he said, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. In other words, when we listen to the Word of God, we should be thinking, this is not man's teaching. This is not man's doctrine, but rather these are the very words that God Himself has spoken and wants us to know and to respect and to believe. Now, those who have bad attitudes and selfish motives and who are seeking to destroy others through testing them or questioning them, we don't have an obligation to humor them in that regard. Titus chapter 3 in verses 10 and 12 or 10 and 11 says, "A factious man, after a first and second admonition, refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted and sins, being self-condemned." And so there are people that we don't need to deal with when it comes to having long drawn out discussions and debates that go nowhere, such as many times people encounter on the internet, email, Facebook, other places like that. But rather, we need to be willing to talk to others who have good motives and who sincerely want to learn and desire to understand. Well, while these Pharisees had poor motives, nevertheless, Jesus chose to answer their question, not necessarily for their sake, even though He did do it for their sake, but for our sake, for His disciples' sake, and for everyone who would read the Bible. And so I'm thankful that even though while Jesus didn't necessarily have an obligation to deal with these kinds of people, that He did, so that we could learn from Him some of the things that we need to know today. And so there is a personal problem here. And that personal problem was the Pharisees' attitude. And when it comes to topics such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage, our attitude is going to shape the way that we think about God's truth. Because such a topic is very personal in a lot of people's lives. But then secondly, in this passage, we have a posed question. A posed question. And the question that the Pharisees ask here in verse 3 is this: "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" In other words, can you divorce and remarry at whim, at will, just for any reason whatsoever? There were in Jesus' day and time two schools of thought about this issue. There was the school of Hillel, and Hillel was a famous Jewish rabbi, and he said that divorce could occur for any reason whatsoever. You didn't like the way that your wife cooked the biscuits, you didn't like the way that your husband mowed the lawn, well, then you could just divorce for any reason whatsoever. And that's basically the attitude that many in our society have taken today regarding divorce. That divorce can occur for just whatever reason whatsoever, and it's no big deal. The other school of thought said that divorce could only occur when infidelity of a sexual nature was involved. And this was the school of Shammai. Shammai was another rabbi of note of that day and time that many followed in Jewish thought. And so the question that is given to Jesus here is this: are you going to come down with Hillel, on the side of Hillel? Or are you going to come down on the side of Shammai? And they expected Him to take either one of those two positions and thus align Himself with one of these two schools. And so the question restated is as follows: is it lawful, that is, does the law of Moses teach, for a man to put away his wife, that is, to divorce her, for every cause or any reason, that is, any reason whatsoever? That's the question that they're really asking Jesus, so that they can get him to come down with one school or another. Because if he does this, then the Pharisees can identify Jesus with either Hillel or with Shammai, and in so doing, they can diminish his influence. You see, the Pharisees' desire here was not to help Jesus. It was not to learn from Jesus. It was rather to hurt Jesus, to destroy his influence, to make it so that others would not listen to him. And so what is Jesus going to do about this circumstance? Will he come down on the side of Hillel? Will he come down on the side of Shammai? How will he reply to this question? Well, in response, Jesus does not appeal to tradition. He does not cite the rabbis. He does not go to either Hillel or Shammai, but rather to the Word of God. And that was always Jesus' reply when it came to these issues. And again, this is instructive for us today. When it comes to the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we need not to say, well, my preacher said this, or my preacher said that, or this particular church says this, or that particular church says that. No, that's not where we're going to find the answer on this topic. We've got to do the same thing that Jesus did. We've got to go back to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about this, and let the Word of God be willing to let the Word of God settle these matters. Attitude, again, is extremely important in this regard. And so Jesus doesn't cite tradition. He doesn't cite any rabbis. And neither does he go technically to the law of Moses. There was a passage in the book of Deuteronomy that these particular Pharisees were thinking about. And in this particular passage in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about how that Moses permitted divorce. And that's what they ask about in verse 7. And we'll talk about that more when we get to verse 7. But Jesus didn't go to Deuteronomy. He didn't go to the law of Moses per se. Where did he go to answer this question? He went all the way back to the beginning of creation, to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, Jesus quotes, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." So the principle that Jesus lays down in regard to marriage doesn't come from Moses. It comes from God. It comes from the Word of God in Genesis chapter 2. The first marriage that ever took place. Within that marriage, we can find what God's desires are for marriage. And that is that what God has joined together, let not man separate. This was God's pattern for the home from the beginning, that there should be one man and one woman for life. And Jesus goes back to this original plan, this original pattern for marriage. This also teaches us today, as we look at the creation account of marriage, that God will not tolerate homosexual marriage, because God did not create two men to be married. He did not create two women to be married. He created a man and he created a woman. That is the only marriage that God is going to honor. And so Jesus quotes from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's the standard for marriage. That's where we start. That's where we begin. And that should settle most issues. We're going to see that a little bit later on in the passage that they ask the question about Moses and his command to give a certificate of divorce. And Jesus is going to answer that question as well. But the majority of the time, we can settle most questions about marriage and divorce and remarriage by simply looking at what Jesus says here in this text. And that is that God's pattern, God's plan for marriage was for there to be one man and one woman for life. That's where we start. That's where we begin. And so Jesus comments, they're no longer two, but rather one flesh. Why are they one flesh? Because God has joined them together. And so then Jesus gives a principle that is to be continued on. And this principle is this: what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, did God say that you could divorce for just any reason? No, He did not. He did not permit it. It is not allowed by God. And why is that? Because what God has joined together, man is not permitted to separate. Now, does that mean that man won't try to do that? Of course, man tries to do that. Man has ignored God's pattern. Man has ignored God's plan. Man has ignored God's laws time and time again. Does that mean that man will be honored for doing that? It does not. Does it mean that those who do that are accepted by God? It does not. Does it mean that those who divorce for just any reason are going to be approved by God? It does not. What does it mean? It means that for those who want to live by God's will, for those who want to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, for those who want to follow God's plan and do His will within their life, they are going to respect God's desires along this line. They're going to marry, and they're going to stay married, and they're not going to get divorced. And there's only one exception that Jesus discusses in that regard a little bit later on in this passage. Now, Genesis 2 and verse 24 is not the only place where God discusses divorce in the Old Testament. Of course, He discusses it in the sense that it's not under consideration there. A man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's what God intends. That's what God desires. And when two are married, like Adam and Eve were married, then God joins them together, and no man can undo what God has done. And so is it a sin to divorce for just any reason whatsoever? Yes, it is. Because that is not God's plan. That is not God's purpose. There's another passage that comments upon divorce in the Old Testament as well. And that is Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. And in that verse, God says very clearly, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel." God hates divorce. And divorce is not the answer to problems that occur within marriage. Now, there are other things that Jesus discusses in regard to this question. And we're going to continue our thoughts regarding this passage this evening. And so I want to encourage everyone to be back here tonight as we continue to look at this passage in Matthew 19 and verses 3 through 12, thinking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Because there may be some additional questions. Well, what about if a spouse is unfaithful sexually? Are we permitted to divorce in that situation, in that circumstance? Jesus will address that question next. But we'll save that study for this evening. Well, this morning then, each one has an opportunity to examine his or her own life and to ask, have I respected God's will in regard to marriage and divorce and remarriage? Maybe there's someone here who needs prayers in that regard. Maybe there's a struggling marriage and the marriage partners would like prayer for their marriage this morning to be the kind of marriage that God wants it to be and to live in the way that God wants them to live. You have an opportunity this morning to ask for those prayers. We also recognize that God sets forth a high standard for living. He sets forth a high standard for marriage, and we need to respect that standard. And that high standard sets us apart from the way the world lives. It sets us apart from the way that the majority of religious bodies practice even today. And by understanding and contemplating the truths of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, you can understand who is truly teaching the Word of God in the world today. And if that is what your desire is, then we want to study with you further about the Word of God and what it has to say about your life. And maybe this morning you've been looking and searching and thinking, I just want to be with those who want to practice the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And you've found the right place if that is your desire. Because this morning we would like to help you in that process. Through hearing God's Word and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins, you can become a Christian and only a Christian and start on the path toward doing what is right in your life and only living by the Word of God. Maybe you want to make that change today, and we invite you to do that as well. And so whatever you have a need for this morning, we stand willing and ready to receive you while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.